This is Wade Rathke, the Chief Organizer's Report on winning the war of attrition against coal-fired power plants. The first day of the annual Energy Finance Conference, convened in New York University's law school buildings on Washington Square by the Institute for Energy Economics and Financial Analysis, was, believe it or not, fascinating. Not only did I get to catch up with Daniele Pomus and his No Al Carbone campaign around coal-fired plants in Brindisi, Italy, but also with a lot of other campaigns, old and new, around coal operations in the USA and elsewhere around the world. None of that was really a subject at hand on the first day of the conference, though. Tom Sanzillo, the IFA finance director, had brought in some financial hotshots, including Dr. Tony Nguyen from Citigroup and Julian Dumoulin-Smith from UBS Investment Research, specializing in energy markets, as well as Tim Buckley, now with IFA and formerly an investment banker from Sydney, Australia, to talk about what was really happening in coal markets. And it added up to a fascinating, amazing immersion course over several hours in highline energy economics. The UBS whiz kid summed it up most forcefully as he repeatedly argued there was a war of attrition on coal, and coal was losing, and now would clearly not prevail. Dumoulin-Smith argued essentially that the price of gas was now so low that the cost spread between gas and coal for new power plant construction allowed utilities to lock in cost, build the plant, and be profitable just on the price differential alone. Buckley, focusing more on coal shipped into markets that were forced to import the supply, came at it from another angle. But between the strength of the dollar and falling prices of other currencies, the cost of dispatch or transportation, and the pricing of coal, even though the market had dropped, it was a dead letter, especially given the Indian commitment to be 50% dependent on its own coal in the next several years and Australia's existing products. A number of speakers argue that the impact of just the USA-China agreement that President Obama announced as a commitment that both would cut down their carbon emissions by 50% was sufficient enough already to indicate that CO2 emissions would not get worse. Listening to the megadomes talk about the lowering cost of renewables like wind and sun, the problems of pipelines, the low cost of liquid natural gas, the refining of byproducts, there almost seemed to be hope, if you believe the experts, that capitalism might save the world yet for our grandchildren, regardless of what we all might have thought as we fought the son-of-a-gun utilities on these issues for the last more than 40 years. My thoughts get coming back to the fights in the 1970s that Acorn waged to cut the size of the Middle South utility, now Entergy's White Bluff plant on the Arkansas River between Little Rock and Pine Bluff. They mentioned an ongoing fight with the coal strip plants in Montana. I can remember well sitting with organizers and leaders of the Northern Plains Resource Council in Billings on winter nights in the early 70s, strategizing on how to clip the company plants for building coal strip 2. A number of questioners tried to ask the experts how they would place a financial market value on the fights that had been waged to stop plants in their towns. Sanzillo was clear that the campaigns were central, even if there was no way to put a number to it. Having been in these fights for over five decades, many of us could have assured the questioners that price is just one part of the puzzle, because it has been boots on the ground and voices raised that have potentially put us in the winning column against coal, way more than the magic of capital markets and supply and demand. Breathing and living on the planet turns out to be a large value added, no matter how the numbers shake out. This is Wade Rathke. For questions and comments, www.chieforganizer.org. You take it from here to there.